May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Well, there's a gospel message to warm a preacher's heart. And if that isn't tricky enough, we also get Jesus proclaiming, do you think that I've come to bring peace to the earth? No, but rather division. Happy blessing of the backpacks, everybody. Where is the Jesus who blesses the little children when you need him? Well, you know, sometimes we just have to face the hard stuff head on, praying for grace to work its way through the messiness to bring hope within and unity and love and all those things that we come here for, right? So let's begin by walking through the fire. In the third chapter of this gospel, Luke gives us a clue about the relationship between Jesus and fire. You remember this scene from way back in Advent, right? John the Baptizer is on the bank of the River Jordan, and all these crowds are coming to hear his message of repentance and to receive his baptism. And John spoke to them, saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. These aren't exactly comforting words, but they don't necessarily have to lead us to imagine fires of destruction. But we might rather think of the refining fire of the prophet Malachi's oracle. See, I'm sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. That's John the Baptist, by the way. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. This fire is not destructive, but purifying. It's God's judgment on humankind. Now, fire is also a symbol of God's presence. From that pillar of fire that led the Israelites through the wilderness, to the tongues of flame that danced on the disciples in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Fire is God's presence in judgment and empowerment. And it will change everything that it touches. The fire that Jesus brings cuts to the root of all that divides us and melts away the dross that clings to us and blinds us to the one thing that is needed, God's very presence. It burns away the chaff that pollutes our relationships with God and each other. In other words, it creates the conditions that are necessary for us to see and know ourselves honestly, which is the first step to seeing and knowing each other honestly and with compassion. As New Testament scholar Pat Skinner writes, the fire that Jesus wants to kindle is a fire of change, the fire of God's active presence in the world. No wonder he's so eager to strike a match. So let's hear a little bit about who Jesus is in the Gospel of Luke. And we can hear about that in the canticles of Mary and Zechariah from back in the first chapter. From the Song of Mary, he has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. And then from the Song of Zechariah, we hear, in the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's who Jesus is in the Gospel of Luke. And you know, Jesus began his ministry by preaching about setting captives free and bringing good news to the poor. And his preaching filled the people with wrath. I have to wonder, why were they so filled with wrath? I mean, Jesus is just longing for the kingdom of God to be made real in all its fullness. But here's what makes people mad. Makes me mad. It means the status quo has got to go. Can't just keep doing things the same way we always have done. No more oppression, no more greed, no more making idols of wealth and power. Things like exploitation and dehumanization and narcissism, those things are out. Whatever it is that prevents human flourishing and all creation, those things have got to go. In the presence of God's refining fire, that's Jesus, all that dross melts away and just leaves us there, kind of naked in a way, before God's judgment. And that's the division that Jesus brings, God's judgment. God's judgment. Do you believe what Jesus says? Do you believe that he is the one sent from God to save us and the world? Do you believe that you are saved through the actions of Jesus? Do you trust the salvation of yourself, your neighbors, and humanity, and all creation in this God made flesh? He comes to bring refining fire, and there's division. And I preach this gospel, and I think it's easy sometimes for people to hear ideological rhetoric or politics in that, and that is not the intention at all. God's judgment isn't just for any one group of people, a political party or religion. God's judgment is against any injustice, any lack of compassion, any cruelty, or any denial of the dignity of human beings. And we hear that again and again and again in Scripture. And we are all either guilty of those things or complicit in them, each and every one of us. And he comes to bring a refining fire to melt that away from us. And there is division. And this division is not new. It never has been since before the time of Jesus. It isn't just about us here and now, although it is also about us here and now. Any of y'all familiar with the work of Joan Chittister? She's a Benedictine nun who writes a lot about spirituality and prayer. And I love the title of her new book, The Time Is Now, A Call to Uncommon Courage. I think that's something that we all need, is uncommon courage. And she writes in her introduction to this book, "We may all seem to be going in the same direction, but when we get to the crossroads of a world in flux, the human parade splits. Some emphasize the need to preserve the values and structures that brought us to this point. Others warn that standing still while the world goes on will be our downfall. And so we wander in a world of expectations we can neither see nor embrace. She concludes this way. Breaking news, the world is full of landmines of difference. And that's why Jesus came to live among us. That's why he came to be with us. That's why he came to bring that fire, judgment and justice. These are pathways that lead the human parade to release from the troubles of this time and to transformation of this world into the kingdom of God. And these things will not happen easily nor comfortably, nor without division. Families are set against each other. We've seen that, right? As we try to figure out these pathways, you know, you do have mother against daughter and father against son. And we see that in fulfillment of the words of Jesus in this gospel. But you know what? Most of us, at any rate, don't give up on our families. We hang in there with them. Even when we feel set against one another, even when we are divided, we find ways to stay connected and to continue to take care of each other. Justice is always in service to love. Love tempers justice with mercy and compassion and understanding, no matter how different the perspectives are. And here's another side of the prophecies that Jesus fulfills. He comes to guide our feet into the way of peace. He comes to show mercy on those who fear him in every generation. Jesus can lead us in those pathways. He knows the way. He is the way. If we follow him and no other, he will guide our feet into the way of peace, the way of compassion, the way of love, the way of understanding each other. I commend to you a prayer of self-dedication from the Book of Common Prayer. It's from that section of prayers in the back of the book. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, so draw our hearts to you, so guide our minds, so fill our imaginations, so control our wills that we may be wholly yours, utterly dedicated to you. And use us, we pray you, as you will, and always to your glory and the welfare of your people. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.